We know that angels pre-existed the creation of the earth and humanity, and probably far pre-existed, because in Job we're told, at the very creation, the sons of God rejoiced, and it's in the context, it's clearly talking about angels who were witnessing the creation, and they rejoiced to see the creation. Somehow, between then and Genesis 3, where the devil enters the picture, he fell. Now, back to kind of the nature of his fall, Isaiah 14 sheds some light on this, and there's Ezekiel 3, and there's other passages as well. But in Isaiah 14, verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. Now, there's some people who say, oh, this is just a human leader, and it could have had a, in prophecy, sometimes you have a short-term fulfillment with some human leader. But then there's the long-term, you know, fulfillment of this, or the larger fulfillment, and I think this is clearly the case, in my opinion, related to Lucifer, Satan. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. This is the ultimate arrogance. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. And it goes on from there. Now, I think it would probably also be good to look at the Ezekiel passage here. Actually, I think I said Ezekiel 38, but it's 28. A way to remember that, which I failed with, but is Isaiah. In Isaiah, it's 14, and double that in Ezekiel, then it's 28. Ezekiel 28, it says, it talks about the fall of the king of Tyre, and it, there's the short-term fulfillment. But here's what it says that shows you it's more than just a human king. Verse 12 of Ezekiel 28, you were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You think that's being said of a human king? You were in Eden, the garden of God. Well, that's getting really specific. Okay, so this predates any of the kings of the earth. This is bigger than just the king of Tyre. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. All of these different stones, which, by the way, some of these stones were on the breastplate of the high priest, and the same stones are in the book of Revelation in the new heavens and the new earth on the city walls. There's a continuity of scripture that we sometimes miss because we just, oh, there's a bunch of names of stones, but those have real specific meanings that take us back to Eden and take us forward to the new earth. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, verse 14 of Ezekiel 28, for I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in all your ways. And here then we get to your question, you know, maybe not as much the answer to, just echoing the question, because you were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created, until wickedness was found in you. Wait a minute though, but how was it found in you? How does the perfect become absolutely imperfect? Because we can always say, and I think that's probably part of what's behind your question, because we can always say Adam and Eve were tempted by the devil, because he already fallen. Okay, well, how did he fall? There was no one to tempt him. You know, how does that even work? And we're not told the answer, but it's clear that free will was given to the angels. And sometimes people say that there was really no free will with the angels. It might be a more limited free will. It might be, there's a verse in Revelation, is it 12, where it says when the dragon comes down from heaven, that he swept away with his tail a third of the stars of heaven. In Scripture, stars often refer, as they did in Isaiah 14, to angels. So when he did that, a lot of people conclude, and I think that's probably accurate, that a third of the angels fell. So they exercised free will at least at that point. And I would say the righteous angels, those who remained righteous, had the opportunity to choose. Now, whether they still have the opportunity to choose, I kind of doubt. I doubt that angels are falling on a regular basis, the righteous angels from heaven. I think it's kind of like the line was drawn in the sand. You either follow God or you don't, and that's the end of it. And just to finish this off, though, you were blameless in your ways until the day you were created, from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub. I kicked you out of heaven, I think is what he's saying. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, so I threw you down to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before kings. So one of the things we can learn from that, even though we don't actually get an answer to how does a sinless being become sinful, especially when they're not even tempted by external evil. And somehow it comes back that God has made all of his creatures, at least it's obvious with human beings, as we talked about, but also with angels, with the freedom to follow him or not follow him. And that is a huge responsibility put upon us. God did not make a mechanistic universe where everybody automatically does whatever they're pre-programmed to do. And so that's how it applies, I think, in the case of Satan.